Hi, everybody. Good to see you. Right. I'll give everyone a moment. I hope you're all doing well today. Happy Tuesday back at you, Janae. All right. I know, Veronica, I saw you pop up on the screen and I was like, yay, she's back on a live call. It's great to see you.
To see you and everyone.
Glad you're here. I know summer is funny sometimes with schedules. So today we are going to, we've spent the last 2 weeks looking at foundational principles around fear and really starting to understand fear and the nature of fear and human behavior with fear a bit more. We looked last week at kind of the overarching steps of the befriend your fear process, and today I am going to model the process with a volunteer, and then we're going to take time and break down the pieces so that you can really learn the details, all the different pieces to it. I'll also, if the team hasn't already dropped in the member center over the next week or two, they'll also drop another recording of an example or two of other befriend your fear processes that I've modeled. If you want to also listen or watch those to get more just with it, connect with it, etc. Before we get there, a couple of housekeeping pieces. One, Inval told me, that she held the first of three drop-in practice partner sessions last week, and a number of you came, and she told me that it was awesome. It was a lot of fun, and a lot of learning was had. I was so happy to hear it, and just want to remind you, we've got two more of those scheduled over the next couple of months. So if you want extra, coaching practice, want to practice with a different partner, if you need some hours for certification, those sessions are there for you. A number of you have started asking, we're not yet at the end of Sacred Depths, we still have time, but and so much more to learn. But a number of you have started asking if there's something afterwards, you don't want it to end, you want more. And I promise you, in the autumn, I'll be sharing. There are a couple of options to continue, but first, let's just continue to focus on what we're doing in our curriculum. And then in the autumn, I'll share opportunities. I'm putting a special call on the calendar to share all of that with you, and it looks like it's going to be on October 6th. So if you want to just mark that in your calendar now, but we'll send emails out about it in a couple of months. Deva's asking, do you need to pre-register for those sessions with Inval? Nope, they're drop-in. So you can decide when you decide and drop in. Last housekeeping piece, I wanted to remind you all again that I'm going to be, after this week, I'll be out of the office for a couple of weeks for my time off in August. So if you reach out to me directly or post something in the Facebook group, I will get back to you, but it'd just be a little bit of a longer period than usual. Next week, I plan on being completely unplugged. And then after that, I'll be checking in every couple of days or so. Okay. So as we step in to going deeper into the befriend your fear technique, I wanted to, we've spoken about this before, and I wanted to talk about it again, just briefly, about being trauma-informed in the process. So, coaching approaches and methods that don't take trauma and survival strategies into account are at best less effective approaches, and at worst can trigger the client into shame or deeper self-judgment or further trauma responses. And first, just a definition of what being trauma-informed is. I've shared this before, but I'll share it again, and I'll start with what it's not. So, being trauma-informed doesn't mean that we're therapists or that it's in our scope to go deep with a client into an event that created a trauma response for them. There are some therapists that treat trauma who may work deeply with the then and there, but coaches don't work deeply with the then and there. We really focus on the resources and the wisdom that are currently available to a client, the here and now. What being trauma-informed does mean, first and foremost, is that as practitioners, we recognize our own trauma and trauma responses and check ourselves as best as we can to not bring that into our client containers. And this is in part why energetics are so important. Being trauma-informed also means that we as practitioners recognize the likelihood of trauma in the histories and the lives of the people that we serve. And that we have awarenesses and skills that help us lower the possibility of unintentionally triggering a trauma response in our client. So every single skill and technique that we learn in Sacred Depths is trauma-informed in this way, from never telling a client what to do and allowing instead their full agency to make decisions to themselves, to not going overtime in sessions before asking a client first if it's okay with them, to learning about fear in the ways that we do so that we don't inadvertently shame a client for their responses to the fear or the fear itself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Being trauma-informed also means that we understand that the survival strategies that our clients have, for example, overworking or shying away from speaking their truth, that we understand that their survival strategies may likely have developed as a result of a traumatic experience or series of traumatic experiences. And we also understand that those survival strategies will very much make their ways into our coaching containers. There's almost no way that they're not going to. And it's our jobs to support our clients in creating awareness of their survival strategies, as well as supporting our clients to make a distinction between the then and there and the here and now, and to then resource themselves from the here and now moment versus the then and there moment. When a client is resourced from the here and now moment, this is where the new energy of inspiration can come forward. This is where new solutions and brainstorming can come forward. This is where recommitment to aligned goals can come forward. When we use our coaching strategies and still have trouble supporting a client to make a distinction between the there and then and the here and now, or to resource from the here and now, that's when it's a great moment to make a referral out to a therapist. The Befriend Your Fear method supports clients to become aware of their survival strategies as well as resource from the here and now moment. And it does this in many ways, including helping the client identify the there and then moment that their fear and their survival strategy is based in. It includes supporting your client to connect into how they feel in their body in the here and now while they also experience the fear. It includes bringing the fear out of the blind spot, as we've been talking about, so that the client can see that the fear isn't all of who they are, and then also become more seated by bringing it out into the blind spot, then the client can also become more seated in the rest of themselves and in their here and now higher wisdom. When you support a client to dialogue with their fear and to connect in with their body, they're engaging in their higher wisdom, their cognitive wisdom, their body wisdom, their heart wisdom, all in the here and now. Now, when you work with clients and use the Befriend Your Fear method or other methods that we look at, they will, from time to time, experience discomfort and even sometimes a lot of discomfort. And that's sometimes a necessary part of the growth process. Sometimes our own discomfort with discomfort can lead us to think that when a client is experiencing discomfort, it's wrong or it's bad. But that's not the case. Now, when we lead clients through the Befriend Your Fear process, or really any other coaching process or any other coaching conversation for that matter, it's extremely rare that this will happen, but it may happen that we see that our client is collapsing into the emotion of their discomfort. If their breathing becomes irregular, if they cry uncontrollably, or if we see that a client has become a little spacey, this all signals to us that the client is likely dysregulated, and it's a trauma-informed practice to support the client to get regulated again. And that can include simply asking them to open their eyes. It can include asking them to come back to just tapping their body, being in the here and now moment more. It can maybe include a physical movement like slowly standing up, or even utilizing a certain amount of joking or irreverence. Or asking a client to describe three things in the room that they're in detail. Or in the case of being stretchy, asking them to breathe, in the case of being spacey, asking them to breathe or stretch. Now, again, especially if you follow the trauma-informed techniques that I share with you, I don't want to scare you. This is rarely going to happen, but it's important to say that it might. Whether it's during a Befriend Your Fear process or just a regular conversation about a big vision. Because, again, as trauma-informed practitioners, we want to be aware that sometimes even an edgy conversation can activate a trauma response. If this happens, it doesn't mean that we avoid edgy conversations when we feel a client is in the right place for it, etc. It doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong. If it does happen that a client gets dysregulated, your job is number first and foremost not to get activated yourself, to remember that your client is whole and complete. To stay regulated as best you can yourself, and then do one of the pieces that I just shared. Okay, last piece around this. As I go into the modeling, we're going to break down everything that I do, but beforehand, there are a couple of trauma-informed practices that you'll see that I do, and I want to point them out now so that you can look for them. Number one, whenever you go into a deeper process with a client or a somatic process with a client, ask permission first. Don't just ask a client to close their eyes and go into that deeper thing. Ask permission first. Asking for permission is number one, a trauma-informed practice. So we're not forcing our client or manipulating our client into anything that they don't want to do. They get the full say. Number two, it's a transformation skill as well, because if you get that yes from the client, yes, I'd like to go deeper, that's like a signal for them of, yeah, I'm ready to, I am ready to go deeper. I want to look at this in different ways. So it allows the client to then be more open. I think I've mentioned the next one before, but I'll mention it again. And this is one that I didn't like, I didn't know for many years. I had to be taught this. It's just, unless you're taught, I don't think you know. I never tell a client, I never just say, okay, close your eyes. I always invite clients to close their eyes if it's comfortable for them, but give them the option to keep their eyes open if they want. And go inwards with their eyes open. For some folks, closing their eyes can be dysregulating. You'll notice as I model, I support the client to feel grounded in their body and in the seat that they're currently in the here and now. It's a trauma-informed practice. You'll notice that I go slow. Yeah, Michaelyn's saying thanks, Michaelyn. Same goes for taking a deep breath. For some people, that can be triggering as well. I've learned over the years to say, take a breath that's comfortable for you, or don't manipulate your breath. Go slow, give space, just let that slow pacing happen. Oh, Barbara's saying you feel like we're going fast today. If you want me to slow down, please let me know, Barbara. Well, you're letting me know, so thank you. I'll definitely slow down. And then another thing that you'll notice that I do is throughout the process, I'm going to be letting the client know that they're doing really well. I'm going to be encouraging them with love in my voice. And letting them know that I'm with them, that I'm their partner with them in this process. All right, let me pause here. Anything that anyone wants to share or any questions that you have, I think you'll see more on these pieces that I just spoke about, the asking permission, the inviting clients to close their eyes, etc. You'll see me model that in a few minutes. But anything that anybody wants to add or any questions that you have before we go into the modeling? Sophie, yeah, we're going to keep on coming back to this. We've spoken about this a number of times before. There is a handout, like a part one to this handout already in your member center. I forget when which week that was dropped in. Whenever we spoke about it, I think it was, I can't remember what week the first handout is in there, but I'll find out for you. And you'll also get another handout on this. Michaelyn.
Hi, Joanna. I call myself trauma-informed. I've taken multiple trauma classes. I'm an EFT practitioner. I've done lots of work around this, and there's still stuff that I don't know and things that I can miss. with clients. And I just think it's important, even if you're not specifically trained in trauma techniques, to just have an awareness is so important that there is the information out there. It's waiting for you. I think it's incumbent upon all coaches to have an awareness, even the close your eyes, take a deep breath, you know, things to watch for that. But it doesn't have to be, you know, a major focus of your practice. But I think just holding the space for what you don't know is an important, like, humility and lens, like a caution and a carefulness and a care to our work. That's the most important.
So beautifully said, absolutely. And there are so many resources out there, and there are some programs that are just fully dedicated, like they're called trauma-informed coaching certifications as well. So all of that is out there, and I love that you're sharing this piece of like there's still pieces that you don't know. There's still pieces that I don't know. There's still pieces for folks that are medically trained for decades that they don't know. And exactly what you're saying, it's important is to be aware, to know that there's the possibility, and then to keep on learning on it. Thank you. Barbara.
Really, thank you for creating this container and you know, increasing our awareness about this. I had a session with someone, and we were actually talking about visioning, and we're kind of circling around in the desire and the longing for that vision, which actually was bringing them back to that place of lack, or what was, you know, what was missing. And it ended up being like unproductive on my part, because I was focusing on the then and there, or not even so much, but just more on the emotion of then and there, which was, you know, still present, right? And as I'm, you know, taking notes and listening today, I'm seeing, you know, maybe it wasn't like, you know, full on trauma, but it wasn't especially helpful, and it wasn't really here and now. And so, you know, kind of what you were saying earlier about, you know, if that person is, if you're not able to help them to get to the here and now, and they're staying in the then and there, and you know, and then that's a repetitive thing, you know, not just like, oh, we have 20 seconds in then and there, but that, you know, then that might be time for a therapy referral. So that was helpful, because I feel like I might want to step into therapy shoes, which I don't have. But you know, and that was kind of where I was feeling like, oh, I'm in, you know, like reflecting on it later, I felt like I was being therapeutic, even if it wasn't helpful. But you know, that just kind of, I'm just sharing this, you know, awkwardness to see if I could be helpful to anybody
Yeah,
else.
no, it's super helpful as an example, and it's a great awareness, and I love some of the things that you're underscoring. I mean, we are even in the Befriend Your Fear process, there is a question, you know, what event or series of events brought this fear into being? So it's asking about the then and there in order to create that awareness that the fear is coming from there. It's not that we don't, it's like we can't ever talk about, you know, anything that happened before, right? But if we see that the client keeps on going back to the then and there, whether it's not even verbally, but in terms of their reactions and their actions and their responses, and we you know, we've kind of used our tools, then we know, okay, this is an area that might need therapy. And in some cases, it's okay, therapy first, and then we'll continue our coaching. And then in other cases, it's therapy while we continue our coaching as well. And it's part of our jobs as practitioners to support our client to create awareness if therapy is something that might be valuable for them. Kelly.
Yeah, I so appreciate this is part of what really drew me to you, Joanna, and I'm so glad that this is part of the work. And I just wanted to share just from a different angle around creating trauma-informed settings, because I've done a lot of work around adverse childhood experiences and the ACEs study and helping clinical settings and like state agencies and organizations to create trauma-informed environments. And the really big topic that used to come up was, do we even touch this topic? Because people were so afraid to talk about trauma or talk about adverse childhood experiences because they felt like on the other end, they didn't have the resources to provide therapy or to do all the things that were needed. Or what if it results in lots of fear or a triggering experience for people if we even touch it? And what the highest level leaders who've been working in trauma, adverse experiences early on that, lend themselves to poor health and poor life outcomes later, what they've found, what the research has found, that it actually builds trust to just speak it and name it. And it helps with in clinical settings, it helps with patient adherence and like people coming in and returning. And in many, there's a whole lot of anecdotal evidence that people would say, thank you so much for saying this thing that I've known all my life that nobody has been willing to say or able to say to me. And now it makes so much more sense. And so I just wanted to share that because I know it can sound really scary. And it's not like we're trauma therapists, but sometimes just offering up the possibility of people being seen and witnessed and seen as whole and understood
Right.
that, or having them understand that they're not alone in that can be incredibly healing and supportive and can actually help them be able to engage in a coaching process and alternatively a therapeutic process that is really healing for them. So I just wanted to share that.
I'm so glad that you are so beautifully sad. I love that you have that experience. And yes, it's again, the creating awareness piece, the normalizing piece, all of those are coaching skills and important ones that are in our scope. And again, to your point, as I was saying earlier, coaches that try to just ignore all that or pretend that it's not there, it can further shame or trigger and not create that trusting container and atmosphere as well, which you all just said so beautifully. Thank you. Okay, I feel like there's a lot going on in the chat. I'm gonna read a couple of the comments and then we're gonna move into the modeling. So I also wanna make sure we have enough time for that. Cecil is saying, would love to hear a little on your thoughts and experience in relation to pacing and being trauma-informed context. I have this sentence in my head that slow and little is healing. Too much, too fast is trauma. And as there is so much push in our society, I sense going slow is even more needed and eventually faster in getting to where the client wants to go. Absolutely. And so I think we were even talking about this last week. We were talking about this last week, and you'll see me model this, Sissel. Part of what's going on in any coaching session, and including when a befriend your fear process or any other fear process comes up, is that there's a co-regulation happening between the practitioner and the client. And so when we create spaciousness, when we're not hurrying up to get there, when we don't have that push energy of like it has to happen now, and we have that space and that slowness, it allows for the energy follows energy. It allows for the client to go there a bit more as well. And I love what you're saying, Cecil, 100%. I mean, this is not just about our personal histories. This is societal, this quick, that creates a lot of that dysregulation. Yes. Carla's saying, I have clarity about my lane regarding trauma and the work I offer. And as a receiver of coaching, I had zero trauma informed about my own trauma and how the coaching was triggering that. Yeah. Yeah, you're not the only one. And that's why this is so important for coaches. I have since identified and been able to work with that awareness that some of the things I wanted coaching on were strategies sprung from trauma. Yeah. Yes, Jolly is responding to Sissel. Titration, I love that term. I always forget that term. I love that term, yes. Okay, great. So all that being said, we'll go into modeling. For the sake of this container and our time, usually my sessions are 45 minutes, with the Befriend Your Fear process being a part of that 45 minutes. We won't go 45 minutes today, probably go more like 25, 30 minutes, we'll see, maybe a little bit longer, with the understanding that just with the work that we've done the last 2 weeks, whoever becomes our volunteer client is already coming in, maybe having identified already a little bit, oh, this is a place where I'm getting stuck and where I sense there's some fear going on, just based on everything that we've already learned. So that being said, we need a volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? Just raise your hand. And as I always say, I'm just gonna pick intuitively on who I sense would help all of us learn the most for today. So who's got a fear that they'd like to work with? And who wants to be our volunteer? Great. Jen, thank you so much for volunteering, and thanks Ayana for volunteering too. Oh, and Brenda. Jen, I'm going to take you.
Right. All right. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, thank you for volunteering.
Yeah, there's fear in that.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're mentioning it. I'm here right with you, people observing my coaching as they're observing your process, I get it. Would it be helpful to take a moment and get settled?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll do it for the both of us. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Yes.
Okay, let me take a moment. Notice where you're making connection with your seat. Letting some of your energy fall down into that connection that you're making with your seat. And if your feet are on the ground, take a moment and notice that too, and how that feels. Noticing the ground supporting you and sensing into the earth beneath that. And then as you breathe in your natural pace, remembering your body, and I invite you to place a hand on your heart and connect in with your heart. Maybe you can even feel it beating. I feel mine beating today. And just take a moment to connect in with your heart and your love. Honoring all of who you are. And setting an intention with your hand on your heart, setting an intention for our coaching today. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Better.
Me too. So what is it that you'd like to receive?
Maybe in a nutshell, I guess maybe insight or something I can think about as a way to move forward in my business. As you know, we've spoken before, I've taken a break with my business and just kind of retooling. It's winter season and I've just kind of taken a step back and just taken a breather. Part of it that I realized is I'm not really totally in love with the model that I was trying to go forward with just the one-on-one. I like doing one-on-one, but I'm not sure that I want to do it with like 10 or 15 people at a time. So I've been following another coach for a really long time. And when I was becoming certified, I checked into her program and was going to do it. It was a little more than I wanted to spend, so I chose to go a different route. And now I've come back around and I'm going to take her program. So I've committed a lot of money to do this program. And it's going to combine my skills as a yoga teacher. And it's going to kind of get that foundation that I've been finding that a lot of people are missing before they want to jump into coaching or get coached on their underlying fears and their limiting beliefs, right? They don't have this foundation of health and, you know, nervous system skills and emotional resilience. So I think I want to kind of have a program. A done for you model is basically what I'm getting, you know, that'll lead people through this, right? So it'll be group. I can add in a VIP one-on-one component to that. So that way I'm not coaching like 15, 20 people at a time. It's just going to be, you know, the handful, but the other people would follow along in the group. So it sounds to me more sustainable. But my fear is, and I've totally lost all confidence in myself in the last year. And I'm like, I don't know that I can do this. Like, there's part of me that's like, but what if it doesn't work? I'm not sure I can do this. And it's terrifying. Terrifying. And it's a lot of money I'm spending on this program.
Yeah. So it sounds, tell me if I'm getting this right. It sounds like you've taken a big leap and made a big investment so that you can have this kind of done for you group module by module. And I think what I'm hearing, tell me if I'm getting this right, is all at the same time you feel excited and hopeful but also really terrified of what if I can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what if I can't get people into my program and make my money back? Like, because to me, like, if I can't do that, I'm just going to be like, to hell with it. I'm done. This was my last ditch effort. Like, the dream is not coming true.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. So it's like, what if I do this and it doesn't work and I fail? I'm hearing is kind of the fear. And what you're seeing around it is, number one, you're worried that if that happens, you're just going to throw in the towel completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else? What are some of the other actions, non-actions, responses that are showing up because of the fear? How's it showing up for you?
I was at first I was like gung-ho, and I, you know, because they give you access to the program and you can go in and start watching the modules and all this stuff, and now I'm kind of like, I've kind of pulled back because the reality is hitting me, and it's like, okay, well, you know, okay, I'll do that later, and then later doesn't come. You know, I'm also trying to come up with a way to maybe like inject some cash into my business so that I can help pay for this, right? So I'm trying to come up with an offer that I can actually, you know, try to sell too, so that I can, you know, still have an income.
Yeah.
And I just fall into confusion every time that I go to do that. And it's like, I just have zero confidence in myself. Like, I don't, there's kind of like that little bit of, well, if I don't do this and I don't try, there's always at least the possibility that I could do it down the road. But if I try and it fails, like, I feel like it's so, I'm just like done. Like, that's it. It's not going to happen. I won't be able to do it.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So it sounds like the fear is impacting you in lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. I do, just before we go any further, it feels important to say this. I do really want to honor you for taking the leap. The fact that you took the leap, even though you maybe haven't listened to the modules yet, but the fact that you took the leap, and tell me if you agree with this, to me that says that there are also parts of you that believe deeply that this is possible for you.
Yeah, and I'm really supported by my husband. Like, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been able to pay for this. Because, well, I'm not making any money, but yeah, you know, when I talk to him about it, he's like, well, if you need any help, let me know. And I'm like, just to be clear, what do you mean by that? And he's like, financially. And I'm like, oh okay. So like, I went away and I just like cried a little bit, because I'm like, wow, like he didn't even bat an eye. Like, he didn't push back at all and make sure like I'm not just throwing money and on a whim or anything. It's like he totally trusts me to make this decision. And he wants to support me in doing it. And I'm like, whoa, like even more pressure not to fail.
Yes. And tell me if you agree, sounds like he really believes that you can make this happen.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Is it okay to, would you like to go deeper with this?
Sure.
Okay. Is it okay to close your eyes and go inwards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So take a moment and start to notice where in your body today you're holding this fear of, I'm not gonna be able to make this happen, and then I'm gonna fail.
I hold it all in my neck to the point I've had headaches for like a week because my neck is tight.
Okay. You're doing really well. And I wanna invite you to lean into that fear in your neck, in your shoulders, to be with it instead of running away from it. And I want to invite you to hold space for it, as if you would hold space for a beloved client, to hold space with compassion and kindness. And just be with it. And just be with it. And are you a visual person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so I want to invite you to kind of go in there as if you were a detective with a magnifying glass and a flashlight. Go into your neck and your shoulders and see what is this fear that it's you're not going to be able to do it and that you'll fail. What does it look like in there?
Dark. There's like no bottom, just like really dark.
No bottom and really dark. Does it have a shape?
Kind of, it feels kind of like outer space, like there's no containment, there's no there's no depth to it. Like you can't tell. Kind of like if you step in a puddle and you can't tell how deep it is, you might all the way in.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, good. You're doing really, really well. Continue to be with it. Just be with it. Hold space for it. No need to do anything else. And as much as you can, just be with it with love and compassion. And ask it what purpose it serves in your life.
It's definitely, I feel like it's protection, but not exactly sure from what. Because I'm not really afraid to fail. I guess I'm afraid to I'm afraid it's gonna just take way too long. I'm just going to be going into so much debt and I'll never be able to climb back out.
You're afraid it's going to take way too long and the impact of that. Let's be with that. Continue to hold space for it. And ask it from even before you became an entrepreneur, what event or series of events brought into being this fear of it's going to take too long? I'm not going to be able to make it happen because it'll take too long.
Well, I my parents were not the most patient people for sure. So there was always this sense of, well, you got to get it right away, or you might as well just, you're never going to get it.
I just got chills when you said that. You gotta get it right away, or else you're never gonna get it.
Yeah, no, my dad especially was extremely impatient.
And so that shows up in your business, that belief and that fear.
Yep. Well, and I have that expectation of myself now. Like, if it's not natural and it doesn't happen, and not that it has to happen easily, but there's just needs to be a forward progression, clear forward progression. And if
Good.
that's not happening, then I get really anxious and feel like it's just not going to happen.
And then that's where things kind of start to move in not the direction you want. Good. You're doing really, really well. Come back to that feeling in your neck. Notice what it looks like in there. It might look exactly the same or have shifted. Take a look in there.
Like it has borders now.
Say that again.
Feel like it has borders now.
It has borders now. Beautiful, nice. Yeah, good. Yeah. So continue to be with it now that it has borders. It's not going on forever. Just continue to hold space for it and love on it. Be kind to it. And ask it from its highest wisdom, its highest wisdom, what is it that it wants you to know about this new program that you've stepped into?
That I'm going to be supported.
Say that again. I lost a word there.
I'm going to be supported. That I can have as much support as I need to make it happen.
Let that drop in. Take that into your body. You are going to be supported, and you have access to as much support as you need. Where can you feel that truth in your body, Jen?
One's here.
Yeah, what does that feel like in there, in your chest?
It's warm,
Mm.
but it's also a little bit unfamiliar, I suppose. Support is new to me. I mean, not, my husband's always been there to support me, but I've always been the one to not ask for it and to be like, no, I got it. I'm fine.
Yeah,
I don't need
sounds
it.
like trusting support.
Right. Yeah.
So lean into this new emerging feeling and energy and belief in your chest that you get to trust support. Be with that. Let yourself have that. I love how it showed up, like right close to the fear, right there. And ask your chest and your fear from their highest wisdom, is there anything else that they want you to know right now?
That there's no timeline, that no one's just gonna be suddenly like, nope, time's up. You gotta go back to the corporate world.
And then disaster, right?
Right.
Yes, beautiful. You're doing so well. Jen, take that in, that there's actually no timeline and no time's up. And then the abyss, right? Let that truth sink in. Where can you feel that in your body?
Felt like an easing of the tension in my neck.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, so lean into that a little bit more. Taking another moment with this and really thanking the fear for showing up and bringing its wisdom and for protecting you in the moments that you need protection. And then when you're ready, you can let that go for now and open your eyes. So beautifully done. There was
massage to push the rest of that out, but a little ease there.
Well, you can come back, right? You can come back and continue to work with that as well. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. There's so much in that. What are some of the pieces that feel most important to you in the work that we just did?
I feel like, well, when I went back to the events that were causing it, and I realized it was because I felt like, you know, it's gotta happen within this time period, or you're gonna have to just give it up because no one's going to entertain this any longer. You're not gonna be supported after a certain amount of time.
That felt so big and so important for so many reasons. Like, first of all, just in terms of you feeling grounded inside of yourself and aligned with your decisions. And also, my guess, I may not be getting this right, but tell me when that came up, my sense was also like that fear that it has to happen right away is a little bit of what's getting in the way when you don't follow through with certain marketing or don't do things that you know will be helpful to move the business forward. It's like, oh, it hasn't happened yet, you know? And so that's functioning there for you. So now you know that you can call yourself out in those moments, right? You can bring the awareness in those moments when that fear comes up back to everything that just came through here. What else is feeling really important from the process? What are you seeing and noticing?
That the fear seemed to shrink or at least be able to be contained or confined after spending a little bit of time with it.
Yeah, that was so beautiful and magical. Those borders appear, right? And it's okay if they wouldn't have. I'm saying this for you and for all of us, right? Like, you never know, but it was just so beautiful that it's like, okay. There are boundaries here. Like, I can, it doesn't have to go on forever. And tell me if this resonates for you. I think that's can be a beautiful image that you work with around, like, I get to choose a little bit more when to pay attention to the fear because it's an actual danger moment versus like, okay, stay outside of the borders of that one.
Yeah.
Nice. Good. Based on everything that came through and everything that you're seeing, how would you like to move forward both with the course as well as the programming that you said you're working to put together in the interim?
Well, I was definitely planning to go to the pool after this and start to listen to some more of the videos. So I need to follow through with that plan to start that. And I think I, you know, I need to stop thinking that it has to be perfect to get any kind of offer out there. What I have is probably fine, and I just need to stop nitpicking every little thing and just start getting it out there. I mean, even if I had, you know, I thought about offering it to my past clients at like a really discounted price, just to maybe kind of work with people I already know.
Yes.
I get love to go that. Through it once. And then, you know, maybe after that I can, you know, have more confidence in getting it out there.
Yeah. I love what you're saying. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It can't be perfect. Stop nitpicking. How would it feel to set a date by which you start to share about that program with some of those past clients?
Yeah, definitely within the week, because I really want to get this out there and A, get some cash, and B, you know, because I think it's something that's going to be really helpful for people. It's going to be kind of like an inner resilience boot camp.
Yeah.
Like 1 month, 4 weeks, you know, 4 weeks each week, go through a different exercise, a different way to work with your nervous system and emotions, and kind of just build that foundation. And I know even a lot of my former clients still need this kind of stuff. So
yeah. Yes, I love it. So, okay, I'm pressing you a little bit here. Let me know if that's okay. So you said within a week, so that's next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Would you like for us to hold that with you? Do you want to let us know in the Facebook group that you've done it? What would be helpful for you on that? I forget who your coaching partner is.
Didi. I can do that. Yeah.
Does that feel right?
Yeah, I think I need some accountability. Get my stuff awesome. Together.
Awesome. And then in terms of watching the videos, what would be a good plan or kind of structure for you for that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to start to block Thursdays off on my calendar and just use that as my education day. Mm-hmm. Just doing all that stuff from all the programs that I'm in. And
just make and get through. Awesome. Beautiful. If it makes sense, just an additional homework assignment that I'll toss is to remember persistence and consistence on breakthroughs, so important. So outer actions that we're talking about, that helps. And then if you want to go back, either journal on some of the pieces that came through in the process, you can start, you can just journal in general on insights, or you can start with some of those beautiful truths that came through. I have support, and I have as much support as I need. I get to trust support and just freeform journal on that. Or there's no time up. That's a myth. Freeform journal on that. And then the other thing, as I said earlier, I'd recommend just now that you're much more aware, see if you can start tracking the fear as it comes up. That'll help bring it more out of the blind spot like we did today. And then remind yourself and it of the wisdom that's come through.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be helpful. Because at times it just, you know, it just takes over and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't do this. It isn't going to work anyway. Might as well do something else.
Completely. And in those moments, if you can slow down, remember the work that we did today and like pull it out. So it's not all of you that's like, right. And you can, that will help. Good.
Yeah.
What are you taking away from our session today?
Well, I'm taking away that there is no timeline.
Yes.
Made that up completely. that, you know, the fear is now contained and I don't have to let it run everything that I can remember and take that time to pause and really bring forth my new beliefs that I'm going to work on actually believing and feeling, you know, that I have the support that I need to move forward with everything that I need to.
Awesome. So well done. And thank you so much for volunteering. Yay, Jen. Thank you. So if you want, you can put your, I'm sure your practitioner hat was half on anyway already, but you can fully put your practitioner hat on as we kind of go into a discussion of breaking down the process. Thank you.
You.
All right. So, I hope everybody else had their practitioner hats on as we were going through. What do you want to pull out? What did you see? What did you notice? Or what did you have questions on from the coaching that Jen and I just did? What feels important to note? Deva.
I really noticed the tone of your voice. It was soft, and the pacing that you held the container in when you asked permission to go deeper, and just all the trauma-informed practices of is it okay to close your eyes? And but really, the tone of your voice just struck me of how it was almost like hypnotic in a sense of that guiding. And even just listening, I was like, wow, very, very, very beautiful to witness. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, and I'm glad that you're bringing this forward. I can't remember if I've shared this in our group before, but I always think of processes like these. Like, we're always holding containers in our sessions. And then when we go into a process like this for a few minutes, it's almost holding a container within a container, like an even tighter container within the tight container. And I think that's parts of what you're speaking to as well. Good. Marianne.
Hey, thank you, Joanna, and thank you, Jen, for that really great modeling session. Appreciate you both. One thing that really struck me just toward the end is noticing how you did such a beautiful job of like listening to her at the outset, asking permission to go deeper, and then there was kind of a slow digging into sort of the shadow side of the fear and resistance, and then gradually turning it around to like bringing it back to the light and helping her embody and just get like acknowledge and accept all the support and like feel into what that could be. And so that was kind of a higher level, more I would say like frequency work, you know, the going deeper. And then gradually as you came out, you started layering, you sort of like you went deep and then you kind of came back up and started with more like structural things. Like, could we agree on a timeline for this action? Or you started to get back into like strategy and action steps. So it was a really beautiful sequence of like going deep, getting going under the hood kind of, and just you know, feel around in there and heal and shift some things and then come back out. And then with that foundation, you know, set the stage for the practical steps. And I noticed it more than I have other times, but it was a lovely progression. I'm curious if you could speak to that
Yeah, I'm
a little
glad
bit.
you're pulling it out, and so glad you're sharing it. So yeah, and there are a couple things that I actually that you've said that I want to go deeper with. So you can't just jump straight, even though I said we've prepped and all of that, right? Like, you don't want to just jump right into the process. That would be jarring. And also, in that beginning period, I did steps one and two of the process, right? So we got clear on the fear, which actually even we got even clearer on what the fear was when we went into the process itself. So I want to point that out to everyone too. Like, it can morph or get more clear, and that it's all good. But we did spend a little time, okay, what does she think the fear is initially? And I also spent that time helping her understand the fear. Well, how does it impact? How is it showing up? So that both she had that awareness, and also so that I had that information, because that's important information that I, for me as the practitioner to have as we went in. And then, yeah, we kind of like went deeper and deeper. And when we were in there, there's something that you said that I want to pull out even more, really important. Did you all notice how when the higher wisdom came through and the pieces of truth came through, I created, Jen and I together created even more space around those truths so that she could take them in. We didn't just gloss over them and move to the next thing, but I really invited the client to pause on the truth, to take it in, to feel it in her body, to start to make a body memory of that. That's an important piece. And what happened for Jen, we could see it almost visually, is actually something that happens in all the processes, whether you can see it or not, is that the support and the resilience and the truth was then living alongside with the fear. We never at once eliminated the fear. Let's get rid of the fear, but it's about finding that resilience to tolerate it so that you can see other perspectives on it too. And then absolutely, then as we came out, starting to move. We remember coaching, we are always strategizing and moving towards goals. And so bringing more of the cognitive back in and the strategizing skills to get some clarity on the next steps. Awesome, thank you. Lane.
In addition to just the power inherent in this process, I really appreciated how when it came to the strategy, you started with the outer steps, and I noticed Jen's voice was kind of a little bit flat and not so enthusiastic. And then you got into some inner steps and the journaling and the big ideas that came out. And it felt like her engagement with the strategy shifted when you moved it to the inner level and helped connect the two things together. So I thought that was really powerful. And one thing that struck me in the session, I was curious. Jen said a couple times, she said first she lost confidence in the past year, and she said, "I have zero confidence." And I'm just wondering if it was a question of time and or a question of not wanting to get too much into the there and then, as far as not exploring going in that direction a little bit more.
In terms of the confidence
Yeah,
piece.
yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. So, in some ways, we really did look at the confidence piece without using those words, because what kind of came through was that because there was this timeline, like if it doesn't happen right away, that it's never gonna happen, which was kind of like eating away at the confidence piece. So, in some ways, we kind of got around to it. But that being said, we're always making choices as practitioners, and it's an art, not a science. And more than, I always like to say, more than one road leads to Rome, right? So if you were the practitioner, you may have picked up on that, like the languaging of the confidence and gone that route with the process, and it still would have yielded exactly what was needed in the moment. Yeah,
Thank
good
you.
question. Erin.
Okay. Hi. I thank you for doing that, Joanna and Jen. That was amazing. I loved kind of just echoing what everyone has said so far, but it just felt like such a beautiful trajectory of like meeting each other, establishing the energetics and then going deeper and kind of getting some more insights and befriending fear. It was just so cool to see. And then the strategizing and what I'm like, what's coming through or what I'm really noticing is also just how efficiently you did that. And like, having like just submitted my midterm coaching for the thing and like totally going over the 35 minutes. And I was like, wow, she did that in 35 minutes, like that whole thing. And just, I don't know if there's anything to say from your perspective, but I'm just in awe at how much space and how slow you were able to go, but yet how efficient the whole process was.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that forward. You're not the only one that's feeling that way. And I think a couple things to say on that. First of all, slowing down, and I think somebody said it, I think Sissel said it in her comment in the chat, slowing down really does speed things up. It's a weird kind of thing, but it does. Practice. Right. So just like have patience, practice. And also sometimes I'm not so efficient, you know, like no myth of perfection or pedestals or like, you know, that kind of thing. And when I am not that efficient, if it happens, then if I have a little extra time, I ask the client if they do as well, if they have a few more minutes to go. Or if that can't happen, I give some homework that I think will target things and we pick it up next time. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Are you, just one question, are you like monitoring from your side? Like now we're gonna move out of the visualization. Like, do you have any sort of that or do you just roll with it and it kind of works out?
Yeah. A little of both. So I'm lightly, I mean, I'm always, it's important to monitor time, but I'd say I'm keeping an eye on it lightly. Mm-hmm. And then the only not light part of it is in a process like that, if we get to, you know, like there's only 7 minutes left of a session, somewhere around there, then I'll start to like, okay, because we want a couple minutes out of the process.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Great question. Nell.
Hi. Thank you so much. I find it so helpful and it was beautiful to watch this. I also just noticed Jen's energy, you know, from the beginning, where she was seeming like her energy was smaller and confidence. And then by the end, her energy was totally different. So it's so amazing to watch how that can happen in such a short time. I have a question just about, you know, at the point where you asked her if she's visual and she said yes. I'm like, so not a visual person. So I'm curious what you would have done differently if she had said no.
Yeah. I'm so glad you picked up on it. So I, for years and years, I led this and also taught this without realizing that some people might not be able to visualize, right? Like, again, no pedestals here. I didn't know, right? And then all of a sudden I learned that was a thing. This can absolutely work if you're not a visual person or your client isn't a visual person, you just don't ask them what it looks like. So you use other mm-hmm. things. How does it feel inside there? Mm-hmm. You know, that's basically it. You just don't say you know, sometimes I get a little more deep. Does it have a shape? Does it have a color? You know, just don't get into that and ask mm-hmm. more, how does it feel? What does mm-hmm. it feel like? You could, every now and again, like another sense, does it have a smell? Maybe, you know, just as a way of connecting a little bit more deeply, but it mm-hmm. also absolutely can happen without it. Yeah. Good. All right, let's see what's going on in the chat. So Veronica is saying, really noticing my own feeling of avoidance around pushing into strategy action steps after a deeper exploration like this. I feel hesitant, like we won't be holding enough reverence for the work just done if I push for more specific action steps. I do it, but perhaps not as specific as I think I should in regards to outer action steps, and I almost always have a bit of discomfort around that. So glad you're bringing that forward, Veronica. Would you mind coming on so we can talk about it a little bit more?
Sure, yeah.
Great. I'm so glad you're bringing that in. So if I'm reading some, I don't always read the chat, right? So I just want to make sure I'm getting it right. It's like, oh, there's this big experience and they're kind of like in the moment and all of that. And then there's kind of this discomfort into for you in moving into like, okay, now what are the steps?
Yeah, like I feel like I'm gonna ruin this beautiful thing we just did with like, okay, now what are you doing next Sunday? And how are you doing this? And not that I feel that way about what you just did, but that's how I feel it in my system. Like,
yeah. So there's this belief of like moving into action steps and what's gonna get done is ruining the rest of the, kind of not honoring and ruining the rest of the process.
Yeah.
I hear that. So there might be some, I think there's truth to it, and there might be some other stuff in there for you to explore. I'll speak to the, I put truth in quotes, the truth, and then we can see if there's still more there. So I'm so glad you're bringing this forward. And it relates a little bit to what Marianne was saying before, like we don't want to just come out and move into steps. We wanna, to honor what just happened, we do kind of wanna ease in a bit. And I may have even in this gone like a little faster because we were doing a shorter version. But the very first thing when we come out, we wanna ask a client how they feel, what are the pieces, or even before that, I modeled this like, that was awesome, you did a great job. There is so much there, right? So first, just for us, to honor that and spend a few minutes helping the client put some more words and not being out of the process, like cognitive awarenesses of the threads that came through and the ones that were important for them. I didn't do too much of this in the case with Jen, but sometimes I'll also add some other pieces that I heard that I sensed were important if the client doesn't mention that. So that's kind of like, it's important. We do that for many reasons, but the other thing is it's like a transition period so that we have some more of the buffer into the action steps. And then it depends on the client. So, and this is another reason why I'm glad you're bringing this up. Sometimes, I'd say it's the case less often than not, but it still happens that sometimes it's actually important for a client to not pin down the exact next steps next and to just continue to like be with it. That was big, right? And continue to be with everything that came through. And so always coach the what based on the who. If we sense that's the case for that client, we can talk about use the time to continue to like process and talk through and name the threads and honor. We can give them inner homework. But then we can create awareness about the outer steps and say, you know, my sense is that this isn't a moment for you to specifically clarify next steps, but I'd like to give that for you as a piece of homework to do some journaling or make a list of 1, 2, 3 things of what steps you're inspired to take from the work that we did today so that they can do it in their own time, hold a container around it, ask them to share it with you, etc. So that, just know you always have that as an option if that feels right for a particular client. Just the only thing is don't let it disappear into the ether. Follow up on it. All that being said, what's still there for you by way of feeling a little avoidant?
Yeah, I think, there's definitely some stuff in there that I need to work through. And I think some of it is like, I've been struggling with feeling too boxed in by like ICF requirements and things like that, when it's like, this has to happen with every single thing, knowing that that is a structure and it's there for a reason as a rubric and not what have you, but it's very feeling very limited, and my system just wanting to break out and be like, screw that. I want to do what's best for this person. And so it feels nice to have that revalidated and kind of a remembrance of following my own intuition about it and ask, putting it out there to the client, that whether I'm sensing that it could be a good place to spend some more time for you before moving forward. Is that the case for you? Or even like, because of everything that came through and what you wanted to get out of this, I'm wondering if it would feel good to push for some actions and just see what happens.
I love all of that. Maybe not use the word push, because I think that's your filter, right? So just watch for that. And you to this other piece that you were saying, I love that you're bringing it up, because I was going to say this at the beginning of our call today, and then I didn't. And I think this will be helpful for you. I have, over the years, have come to realize that as a practitioner, I am this interesting paradox of by the book. Like, my Virgo is very by the book and also on the edges, like within, but on the edges. And I'm both at the same time. And I want to offer you permission to be that too. And like, how that plays out for me is that the book is always there. I'm just open to finding, knowing that there's not one way into it, and finding the ways that make sense for each person in each moment. Does that land for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what my entire being is, just like the balance of all of these, do what needs to be done and hold both at once. Yes. Like, that's a big F yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big piece of the work. Good. So glad you brought that forward. Kelly, I'm going to get to you in 1 second. Amy's saying, in process work, we say, notice what you notice to account for a diversity of experiences. I love that. Kelly.
Yes. This is kind of piggybacking on that same piece that you were just talking about with Veronica, but I loved how you moved in and just said that based on what you're feeling and seeing, how do you like to move forward? And it just, again, it felt like everyone has said, like it was just gentle and inviting. And what I noticed with Jen was, you know, she immediately had her next action step and about going to the pool and listening to the videos. And then she started saying, I'm going to stop this and stop this and stop this. And I could feel in my body this immediate like, oh, the stopping is hard. And I was curious about that piece, because there was a little bit of go, but there was a bunch more stop. And so I was just curious if you might address that in another moment, or better to let it rest because we're letting the fear sit with the resiliency pieces, or if you could just comment.
Yeah, such a good question. Okay, a couple pieces. So first of all, we did like rush through that part a little bit just for our purposes, which I said we would. I don't know if y'all noticed, I did lead her a little bit also, which is not a bad thing sometimes, but I wanted to name that, right? Like I did lead her, you know, do you wanna post it in the Facebook group? And she kind of lost some energy when she said she would. And Jen, I don't know if you were like just saying it to say it or whatever, right? But if you were just saying it to say it, point made, whenever we lead a little bit, it kind of deflates the energy. And Jen, you have full permission not to post it if you don't want to. So it was a little bit of a time thing. But that being said, I love your question, and I might address it, but I also might choose not to and see how everything lands and how the action steps go, for the exact reason that you said. Also, to not detract from the, because so much powerful still happens, that then if we try to, it kind of then denies this for the client. They might be like, oh, that didn't work, and you know, like all the things.
Yeah.
So In some cases I might, but in this case, I don't think I would have, even if we did have more time.
Okay, that's great. I was wondering that. Thank you.
Yeah, great question. All right, everybody. Thanks, Jen. Thank you so much for volunteering and your vulnerability and your wisdom. Thank you, everybody, for your presence and all that you shared. I'm so excited for you all to start practicing this. That is your homework for your partner sessions. Bring it into your client work. Again, I'm around this week, and then I won't see you for a couple weeks, but I will be thinking about you and continuing to hold the energy with you. Sending you all a lot of love. Bye.